It's time for What's Up with Opposition Deputy Leader Paula Bennett.
Morena, Paula, how are you?
Good morning. I've got a cold, so I sound a bit nasally.
Oh, don't worry. Everybody's a bit like that at the moment. It's the end of the season sort of flu going around.
I know, and I bragged about not having it. Big mistake.
That's how you jinx yourself. That's how you jinx yourself into it. Hey, there's lots to talk about this morning. Let's start by talking a little bit, because we haven't spoken to you about it yet, about your announcement earlier this month that you'll be vacating your Upper Harbour seat in 2020, but you're still going to be remaining a List MP for National. What prompted this decision, Paula?
Well, a combination of things, but mainly because I'm going to be the campaign chair for the National Party for the whole country. So that is a massive job. We want to get in government next year. There's no two ways about it. So I want, and my caucus deserve me to give 100% to that. The National Party does overall. And so then I sort of sat there and went, wow, so that's a massive job. I love my electorate and what I do there, but they actually deserve 100% as well. Mm. And then I'm going to be honest, I looked at myself and my family and, you know, just sort of went, I'm not superwoman. You know, you can't kind of do everything. And I don't know, I thought I'd stick with my husband and my family, you know. And as I say, it's a massive job and I'm really excited about being the campaign chair. And so I think it's best for my electorate, it's best for the National Party and it's best for my family.
Upper Harbour's considered a safe seat for National. Are you hoping that passing this seat on will perhaps maybe also create some space for new people to cut their teeth within the National Party?
Look, that wasn't part of my consideration, to be honest. I did it quite selfishly. You know, I just sort of really sort of stood back and, as I say, thought about it, not completely from my own perspective. As I say, I took the country and the party into consideration, but I wasn't really thinking about who else might come in. That is for our members to decide. I actually really believe that MPs should stay out of it, the selection for the next people. So, yep, it does bring someone new in. I think that's always a good thing, but... you know, as I say, that was kind of secondary to my decision.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about the discussion document released this week by the National Party, which outlines your economic policies coming into election year. So maybe we'll start by talking about the superannuation discussion, which is going on. So you have announced as a party that you'll be sticking to your previous promise of raising the superannuation eligibility age from 65 to 67 from the year 2037 if you were to be elected into government next year. So why exactly does the National Party want to raise the superannuation age?
Well, mainly because we want it to be sustainable. So we want a superannuation like it kind of is, but with a change in age, you know, to still be there in, what are we talking now, 18 years' time, 20 years' time. It's really important. And, you know, the workforce has changed. We think you can gradually raise it. We think you do need to signal it this far out so people kind of know. I'm going to be honest with you, when I was a lot younger, you know, probably in my late teens, early 20s, and was working, and I remember my dad saying to me, there probably won't be a superannuation scheme like this when you're, you know, when you're due to retire. Well, there will be. And I think that's pretty exciting. So we just want to make sure it really is there, that there is a change. And I think that people are working longer and probably can accept a couple of years on it.
There's a bit of concern that raising the age will disproportionately affect groups such as Māori and Pacific Islanders, for whom there's a lower life expectancy in New Zealand, but also for groups like the generation that's known high student debt and low home ownership, who are going to sort of be a bit shortchanged by this. What would you say to those concerns, Paula?
Well, I would say it is a real gradual change. It's only a couple of years and it will happen over a period of time. So it's not going to all of a sudden go from 65 to 67. And that there's heaps of time to kind of plan for it. So I understand, I really do, that sometimes the younger generation feels like we're paying for them now, we're paying for, you know, paying off our debts and then we're going to get there and it's not going to be for us. And I would say, well, I think this assures that it is there for them. And it is the younger people that we're thinking of when we look at this policy.
So currently our superannuation in New Zealand isn't means tested, which means that everybody gets the same. Do you think that that should change?
Well, I just worry that if you went down the same path as perhaps, you know, Australia have got a means testing, then you're almost saying to people, well, don't accrue assets, you know, don't kind of look after yourself because If you do, then you'll almost be penalised because you won't get super. I like our universal superannuation. I think that it doesn't discriminate, and I think that that's important and encourages people to pay off their mortgages and do what they need to do. And so in that respect, I think it would be a massive change if you looked at means testing.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit more about this discussion document more broadly. So it's been referred to as a regulations bonfire, I think is the way it's been discussed now. So National's planning to scrap 100 regulations if voted into power next year. What kind of regulations would you be looking to get rid of and why?
Oh, my goodness, there's some crazy ones that are really old and really out of date. If you go around this country and you speak to small business in particular, they will just talk about the hours that are taken up with trying to abide by regulations that really have no meaning. My best friend owns a small salon, and she would just say it is absolutely ridiculous. And from, you know, about 30 years ago, that one has to do, has to go through a health and safety audit every year, that goes back to the days where they thought that hairdressing was unhygienic. So there are a number of things right across that you could just sort of cut out that are going to save time, save money, and I think make our businesses more productive.
There's been a little bit of debate around some of the, I guess, the validity of the idea that some of these regulations are maybe not necessarily things that people are actually concerned about. The things that people are really concerned about, rather, are not necessarily regulations that already exist. So what tangible difference do you think removing some of those regulations are going to make if some of them are really old or outdated?
Well, I think that, I think it'll make business much more productive. They'll be able to get on with doing the business that they're doing and not abiding by senseless regulations that are kind of holding them back and holding them up as far as time and money is concerned. And then there's everyday people's lives. I mean, goodness, there's some ridiculous things about if you, you know, want to, I can't remember what the actual diameters are, but, you know, like if you want to build a small lean-to that goes against this, you have to go through all of these ridiculous regulations where really it's your property, it's not affecting anybody else, and it should be able to be done. So that will make a difference to them in reducing cost and reducing time.
All right, well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Paula. We really appreciate it. And we'll speak to you in a fortnight. Thank you again for speaking to us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Cheers. See you in 2 weeks.
Bye.
That was What's Up with Opposition Deputy Leader Paula Bennett.